Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG tonight. Chill show tonight because there's not much happening. It's a very chill, very relaxed white boy summer that we have. So not much important to discuss, but we can talk about the mood of the internet. I've been also so much in math that I see the world in mud now. I'm doing modular arithmetics, and I see stuff as circles that are recolliding with the mud, resetting to zero. It's quite a fascinating way to look at the world, look at it through the eyes of the modulus. New guy was saying, moral signal news, still progressing, any interesting developments? No, the interesting development is that I now have a very reliable girlfriend. And so this puts me, within the next few years, I will have more time. I will have less responsibilities falling on my shoulder. But until we set up our life, and I won't get into the details, but I have a couple of things that we need to do to set up our life. Once that is done, I might have time to lose time on a book, but for now I have too much family responsibilities, and it's just the way it is. It's not because that girlfriend isn't good, but it's just the circumstances of our life have made it such that we can't immediately be full into our roles. But once she is full into her role of support, I will be able to carry forward with the moral signal, most likely in maybe a year, 2 years from now. Until then, I am constantly just caring for the house, caring for the family duties. Steven Robinson says, JF, have you made a garden this year? I don't even have time for a garden. A new guy was asking, any commentary regarding the potential for declining sperm motility, which seems correlated to the introduction of widespread gene therapy? So by this, you seem to be suggesting the mRNA vaccine. I didn't know about this study. Recent decline in sperm motility among donor candidates at a sperm bank in Denmark. The sperm quality declined by 22% from 2019 to 2022. I would be very hesitant at attributing this to the vaccine. Could be. It's not impossible, but there's too much that has changed in those years. There's the whole COVID shutdown, people losing their jobs, people going into depression, people aging. You have all sorts of waves in society. And, you know, the declining quality of those who want to give sperm, maybe it's a sign that the boomers are suddenly alarmed at the fact that they didn't have children, maybe some of them, so they go donate sperm. So, you know, it can be all sorts of reasons that perhaps people are less healthy, perhaps it's just the the progressive lesser health that is taking over Denmark the way it has taken over America. Maybe it came there late. Maybe fast food culture came there late. There's so much in society that's attacking the sperm that it's very hard to say, well, it's the vaccine. But definitely it's still worrying. But it's also the trend. It's what we've been seeing for decades. And I would suspect that at some point there must be a bottom. At some point, you can't always have declining sperm quality. At some point, it becomes the main evolutionary factor and there's a bounce back. Ty Odyssey says, it's just a new approach, having lots of bad sperm, but having two or three turbo sperm. Yeah, maybe it's a strategic trade-off. A strategic trade-off in the sperm quality. It's like the joke's on you. You know, big chads with your super motile sperms. The joke's on you. There's a sneaky fucker sperm out there that is just, it lives among millions of handicapped sperm, but it's a turbo sperm. Entirely possible. entirely possible that there is currently a war and an evolutionary race, and it's the evolutionary race to please the scientist who pick your sperm, because, you know, it used to be that the sperm, they compete only by motility, but now the sperm, they compete by dancing to the scientist, very often a female, who will pick the sperm for IVF. And so now it's a different race, it's a different world. The sperms must evolve not just to be quick and efficient. They must evolve to please the eye of the scientist PhD female who is looking at them under the microscope. And it's like, does it look good? That is, people underestimate how big this is. Just converting to IVF, and I know I've been quite dramatic with my predictions in the phenotypic revolution, but leaving aside the phenotypic revolution, just a society that converges toward IVF, it's insane. The evolutionary pressures for the visual charming by the sperm. Literally, the sperm will be wiggling. The sperm will start dancing. The sperm will start dancing to the rhythm of the culture today. And so, you know, at some point, there might be a correlation between the current trend on MTV or the likes, current most listened to songs in YouTube, and the sperms that are selected and how they dance. It will go well together, because ultimately the one scientist that's making the choice is also a YouTube audience member, and she is going to be listening all day to music while she picks sperm under the microscope for IVF. This is insane. This is worse than the peacocks. The peacocks, you know, they display their big tail and all. It's quite handicapping for their lives. But now we will have sperm developing a peacock tail. A peacock tail. A peacock tail. Real Bass Talk says, JF, do you listen to any French music? I got into Requin Chagrin and Ileona Roulin recently. Wondered if you heard of them. No, I guess that's a generation of music that is probably too modern for me. Is that Quebecois music or France? In any case, I don't follow this music. I've heard what I had to hear in the domain of music. I'm not particularly fascinated by modern music. Ayan says, do you object to growing babies in artificial wombs? Well, it's definitely not the ideal, but in the current context, I have argued before that it might be desirable to have the artificial womb as a leverage against women. Because I don't see an end to the bottom of the barrel that we're reaching with female psychiatric behavior. They are completely deluded. They are insane in the fucking head. And if we had artificial wombs, we could say, well, you know, okay, if you are a quality female, I will take you and we will have babies. But if you are this fucking insane, ugly, annoying female, I will go for the artificial womb. And it would give us leverage. And because there would be that choice, the females would have to negotiate with us. There would be an evolutionary trade-off happening no matter what. And it's like, no, you can't make my whole life fucking living hell for 10 years. Just because I want a baby with you. No, you can't see ghosts coming out of the wall. If you're that bad, I'm going for the artificial womb. Real Bass Talk says, JF, yes, modern, but in the style of Françoise Hardy, Ileonia is Belgian. Oh, this fucking type of music. I fucking hate it. You have no idea the hate that you have invoked in me. These modern reproduction of this kind of bicycle hipster type of music. It's like, oh my God, it's so simple. Oh my God. It's like I'm singing like a fucking intellectual. Ooh. And my video clip is all brown. Brown? Yeah, my video clip is just brown. Brown bicycles, brown streets. It's nostalgia. Man, you have no idea. I want to kill. Like, I feel the need to murder right now. It's, you have... I hate this fucking trend. I hate it. It's an empty trend. It's faux depth. Black Tie sends $10. Thank you so much for supporting the show. By the way, if you'd like to support the show, use the dollar button under the Odyssey chat. Odyssey super chats are my favorite way to receive support for the show, and we do need your support to keep going. Black Tie sends $10. He says, JF, you ever tried semen retention? It brings a lot of benefits for me. Better muscle tone and posture, more energy, better mood, more confidence, and easy talking to people, deeper voice, better skin and hair, and other benefits. Well, semen retention. So the idea of not masturbating, I guess. Jeff? Jeff, have you tried not masturbating, like, at some point in your life? Yes, I guess I did. Yeah, semen retention is the idea of not coming, okay? I guess there are times at my, in my life where I wasn't coming. You know, sometimes I have to fill the dishwasher, sometimes I gotta go fill some paper, get my driver's license. I'm not coming in these particular moments. Now, how long you do it, I guess, is the definition of your sperm retention technique. I will say that I believe that sperm quality for insemination increases up to if you wait 4, 5, 6 days. Like, you will come with more sperm when you inseminate after 4 or 6 days. Now, that doesn't mean it's worth it always, because the gains become very small after 3 days. So, yeah, the idea of limiting the number of sexual acts in order for each act to be inseminating a higher volume and more quality definitely makes sense. My sweet spot, in my view, is because it's a trade-off between the frequency of injection and the quality. So, yes, if you are to wait 6 days, you will have the most sperm. But waiting 6 days may mean that you have missed the window where the egg is fertile. So in my view, the sweet spot is to have sex every 2 days during the best window of ovulation, down to maybe every day. But every day you start to lose on the quality of the injection. So every 2 days, a pause of 1 day sometimes help. And I find that it's the sweet spot. So it keeps living sperm inside the wife for all the time of the opened window. But everyone has their own approach to this. Other than this, if you're talking about sperm retention for weeks or months, I don't know that I've done this. I've not done it explicitly, probably done it accidentally many times in my life. Black Tie says, JF, 2 to 4 weeks, the peak benefits. Well, yeah, then we're talking about the times in my life where I've been a celibate or quasi-celibate. I've not experienced those gains, but I've never cared about it or looked for it. Maybe I did unknowingly, but I've never paid attention to it. Brianna Wu, a woman of the left, a progressive, is leaving the progressive movement. Yesterday, I put out a viral tweet lamenting the death of the progressive movement, I wanted to expand on why I don't think there's a future where progressive have a significant percentage of electoral power. Theoretically, if you could address these issues, that would change. As I believe in progressive policies, I would prefer this outcome. I just no longer think it's realistic, as embracing terrorism is the new baseline of progressive fealty. The culture is cannibalistic and abusive. Frankly, it's not fun to be a progressive. You're constantly dealing with people demanding you explain everything you say and think, and everyone with a mic is dealing with a crowd of people who feel entitled to it. As such, the progressive brand has become tainted. Progressives aren't cool, they are the moral police. Progressives aren't cool, they are the moral police. Our ideas for addressing structural oppression go nowhere. I very strongly believe that women, people of color, and LGBT people do not get a fair shake in America. I also believe progressives only offer kabuki theater to address this by obsessing about identity and offering people bizarre incentives to be more and more oppressed for clout. Progressives create a dysfunctional culture. Yes, it is laughably stupid that straight people claim to be LGBT because they are demisexual, only attracted to people they have an emotional bond with. But it's also understandable why this would happen. Otherwise, those traits would be at the bottom of the pecking order. Well, yeah, I mean, the logical conclusion, it's not like everyone saw this coming. It's exactly why this crazy far left, the hyper-identitarian and gender-based identities are stupid, and they don't even serve the left, really. They are just a performative theater, like she says, kabuki theater. Now, Brianna Wu, unfortunately, I don't expect her to suddenly come to an enlightenment about why the left ultimately sucks. Even the non-progressives, even the center-left sucks. But we're never going to be there with Brianna Wu and probably with women in general. Doubting Thomas says, Jeff, is there a good evolutionary explanation for the type of altruism where you would step alone to save someone from drowning in a lake and miss an important sales meeting where you would make a large commission? You can invoke all sorts of theories. You can invoke kin selection. You can say, well, in the past, it was likely your brother drowning. If you saw anyone drowning, it was either your brother, your father, your grandfather, or your children. And so you can just invoke a kind of misfiring. Suppose that the person you're saving is not your brother. Well, then maybe it's a misfiring from the fact that your brain had to be prepared to save your brother, because most of the time it would be your brother. Kin selection, in the past, we were surrounded by our family all the time, and everyone we saw in distress was always our family members. And so evolution said, I'm not going to make an exception. I'm going to save pretty much anyone I can at low cost. You can also invoke potential benefits that you could accrue. From maybe you know, your sales meeting is going to bring you some benefit, but can you imagine having someone in the village who owes life to you? That in the end might be more benefits than anything you could have done that day. So arguably, you know, a little bit like in The Godfather, it's like, you owe me something. The Godfather has accrued extreme power in the movie by just being kind. And it's what's so fascinating about this movie is there's not a moment of violence except when the gang war starts, and then people are killing his son. And but even then, he's like, I'm not gonna take revenge. So basically, the helping others may be the best way to attract future success. Of course, it's not the case in our current society, because our current society have become so big. Reputation, local reputation means nothing, because you can always move. So our society is very open to parasitism. But societies of the past, it was probably a matter of life or death, just how much people around you owe you something and like you and want good for you. Ayan says, maybe potential spouses find it sexy when you save people. Yeah, it's possible. That's a more stretch, because you can think that a lot of the distress situation, they don't lead to social advertising. But in a situation where your act of heroism would be talked about in the community, it may be a peacock tail. It may be an advertisement of your quality. Labour's proposed definition of Islamophobia will outlaw saying that Gaza isn't a genocide, that Muslims are more loyal to God than Britain, that Palestine is run by terrorists, that Islam has historically spread violently and oppressed minorities, or that Mohammed is a pedophile. All-party parliamentary group on British Muslims, definition of Islamophobia. Okay, well, it's not law for now, but it's a committee that is trying to define Islamophobia. And you look at this, you know, there are people on the right who are like, oh my God, it's unbelievable. They want to outlaw speech. And it's like, bro, this is almost a joke. It's a copy paste of what they did for anti-Semitism. Islamophobia is rooted in racism and is a type of racism that targets expressions of Muslimness or perceived Muslimness. For example, making mendacious, dehumanizing, blah, blah, blah. Denying Muslim populations the right to self-determination. For instance, by claiming that the existence of an independent Palestine or Kashmir is a terrorist endeavor. So if this were to become law, you couldn't say that Gaza, that the Gazans are all terrorists the way the Jews are currently saying. So what I find fascinating about this committee conclusion is that it's just a copy of the anti-Semitism. So you have the Jews pushing for anti-Semitic laws, you have the Muslim pushing for Islamophobia law, and at the end of it, it's going to be basically, you can't make political argument except against white people. This you can. So it's always the whites are the leftover, always, as the perceived main majority group. By the way, they say perceived Muslimness. Very often there is anti-white racism that is based in perceived whiteness. Very often you end up having Jews not clearly identified as Jews, and then if they argue with a leftist, they will start arguing against their whiteness. It's nonsense to be making special rules for each of these minorities. Defend everyone with the same law. And if your law is valid, it should apply to everyone equally and defend everyone well equally. You've been slacking, JF. You haven't got to the Breonna Joy Gray firing. I don't even know what that is. Breonna Joy Gray. Did I see something unfiltered on getting fired from the Hill after criticizing Israel 9 days ago? 9 days ago. Well, I see a couple of Reddit posts about it. The Hill fires progressive host after she defends Hamas, rolls eyes at Israeli hostages' sister. The Hill fired show co-host Brianna Joy Gray on Thursday following a controversial interview she conducted with the sister of an Israeli woman abducted by Hamas, in which Gray rolled her eyes at a closing comment from her interview subject. Gray announced her firing on social media. Let's see. Is this? I don't think that's the interview, but that's certainly her speaking.
State solution, which means that there cannot, when Hamas is talking about eliminating Israel, it's talking about not killing all of the Jews. It's about eliminating the idea.
Okay. It's about leave it there.
Can I just finish the sentence? It's about eliminating the idea of a Jew.
This is I'm uncomfortable. I know it's not the interview, but it's another moment where she started accumulating some hate from the Jews. I mean, I'm uncomfortable because this guy is laughing. Like, I can almost hear the N-word in his laugh. It's like, oh, you stupid bastard. Okay. Let's make your argument. But why would you laugh in such a fat, disgusting manner?
About eliminating the idea. It's about.
How about another joke, Murray? Says James. Oh my God. She was trying to make the point that yes, you could have an argument against the structure of Israel without meaning that the Jews in it would be killed. You could say the structure, this institution that is Israel, as a warmongering nation, is something that should end.
We'll leave it there.
Let me just finish, sir. Can I just finish the sentence? It's about eliminating the idea of a Jewish state, ending an.
So she's awfully consistent with the leftist doctrine. This is what's fascinating here. What's the leftist doctrine? Ethnostates are bad. Okay. So it's like she detected the big contradiction of the modern world. Well, if ethnostates are bad, we could have an argument against Israel as a Jewish ethnostate being a bad thing. She basically she made the error, like many black people who are starting off in this business, she made the error of thinking that you had to follow the logic. You don't have to follow the logic. You just have to follow the Jewish interest. And this will tell you what you need to say, what you need to think. Jewish interest, not actual logic applied to the stated ideas. She's a naive young black woman. She went too independent here.
Ethno-national state and having a state more like what we have in the United States of America.
Ethno-nationalism is bad. So that's why she got fired. She followed the logic. Thanks for letting me know. I didn't know about this at all. Maybe next time, says Jeff, I am starting a new country where all racists are welcome. All races are welcome? No, all racists. Well, the problem is it's going to attract a lot of races. There are racists in all races, and in fact, your country, in fact, will be the least white country there can be, because white people being the least racist people, you're going to attract mostly other races. So start your non-white country all you want with your racist non-whites. I don't object as a libertarian, but I don't want to live there. I don't want to live there. I want a non-racist place with people that look like me. I'd rather have this. Balloon Nut sends a super chat. Thank you so much for supporting the show. He says, JF, the male anglerfish bites into the female, combining his body with hers, and he gradually disappears except for his balls, which become... Bro, you're kind of attacking me with a very extensive description of, and I was imagining my balls just being ripped from my body as I die and being integrated into my girlfriend. You induce pain in me, which is rare because I'm a surgeon. I'm capable of seeing blood, brains, capable of chopping living beings, no problem. But you got me there. You induce balls pain as I read your super chat. Okay, let me reconcentrate here and try to read it. Combining with his body with hers, and he gradually disappears except for his balls, which become the female's balls. Many human beings have already copied this dynamic on a social level. Perhaps the true revolutionary phenotype is the woman. Well, first, okay, I had not heard about this this mode of reproduction. Quite fascinating. I find it super interesting. It's the whole idea of giving your last shot. You know, if you know you have a good one, Melodic says this is niche. It is. If you know you have a good one, you know, the angler, from the perspective of the male anglerfish, perhaps the biggest point of anxiety is the potential that he's going to inseminate this woman once and she's going to go away and then get inseminated by the next. And now you're just a competing little bout of sperm in the overall ocean. Perhaps there is something in anglerfish life that makes it such that if you find the right one, you know, she was Miss Right, okay? She was Mrs. Right. And the anglerfish is like, I'm much more useful as a balls attachment to this functional reproductive being than I am anywhere else. Because at least as the balls attachment, I can mark my female as, you know, putting a ring on it. Basically, this anglerfish population that you describe, if it exists for real, they are putting a ring on it. But the ring is their balls. They are putting a balls on it. And they are doing so probably because once the female is marked, once the female is carrying a dead body of a male, she is known to be taken. She is known to be used, and therefore she loses her value on the market. Therefore, you get full reproductive potential going forward. I think it's a win-win. It's a win-win, but sometimes you just have to give your life for that insemination, and that's what the anglerfish does. Nicolas Fuentes says, the only moral sexuality is between a married husband and wife. Women are only fertile when they are young, so they should be married young. Children should be raised by their loving mother. So the primary role of women should be to care for their children and the home. Well, that is true. Very well said. I agree with this statement by Nick Fuentes. Now, What else do we have? Newly surfaced document shows Israel knew of October 7th plans weeks ahead of time and failed to act. I saw a couple of news suggesting this for a long time, but now it's in the jpost.com. And it's claimed that Israel knew about the Hamas attack. I wouldn't be surprised. Very often these intelligence services, they just let it happen and depends on their motivation and the political interest at it happening. Because if there wasn't this October 7th attack, Gaza would have had no justification for Israel would have had no justification for the genocide that they're currently committing, which was probably in the cards already, because you don't deploy this kind of thing just out of spontaneously. This was a plan and it was executed. Man, my heart is warm at what we have seen emerge from the AF pack. You know, we've seen David Duke there at AF pack, and he was down there listening to the speech of Nick Fuentes, who was up there yelling to the crowd with his speaker phone. And it's good to see old friends. It's good to see David Duke chilling on camera there. It's David Duke chilling with Sneeko and with this new brown Twitter guy. It's good to see David Duke shaking hands with my friend Angelo Gage. I see a lot of people in this movement that were guests on the public space, and it's very heartwarming. It's like, it's the only social interaction I really engage in, but I don't need any more than this. That's as much social interaction that I need for the year. But it was very heartwarming yesterday to see so many pictures of, oh, this was a friend I had from one path, and this was another friend I had from another path, and somehow they're together in the same photo and shaking hands and making memes. It was very good to see all of the right, the people that I respect within the right, and others, you know, the new ones like Sneeko, who I've never interacted with. It was good to see them all in the same city and cheering for Nick Fuentes. Galactic Primate says, wow, Duke has aged a lot. Guy is getting old. JF, are you ever going to debate ChatGPT as it simulates a popular public persona? It's been all the rage lately. Well, what does that mean? Oh, you mean, will I engage in a debate against an AI? Oh, that could be interesting. I mean, I've always been interested at testing from an anthropological standpoint and a technological standpoint. Yeah, I would love to see what the best AI can generate in terms of a live debate with live audience, and, you know, try to train the ChatGPT to be able to impersonate maybe someone else, maybe a Jordan Peterson imitation. That would be interesting. I would definitely do this. Maybe Andrew Wilson at some point, if there's not enough leftists who are willing to argue, maybe at some point we'll have to debate AI leftists. Tillman says, JF, did you read about Lily over the weekend? She did something with Jake Shields. Yeah, so Lily even was at this meeting. It was good to see her, you know, because she's been highly criticized, and I have been critical of her, and I've been extremely, extremely worried about the potential that she's a subversive agent. And it was good to see her with the right people on the right side. Because there she can learn. She can learn the kind of thing that she says that will trigger someone like me and perhaps other potential audience of hers. You know, when she says, fuck Israel, fuck Gaza, I don't care about Gaza. you know, I'm seeing here the jury. I'm seeing the, oh, well, if you don't care, you're driving attention away from a very important political point of modern America, which is we should care a little bit to the extent that it messes our American politics. And I think that this kind of thing, she may have learned it during the weekend interacting with the, you know, I don't know if she saw David Duke, but she's definitely been with Lucas Gage. So those are the right people to guide her intellectually, hopefully. And perhaps I won't be as critical of Lily in the future when more of her positions are known. But see, she, another video, another worry. I don't think this is good dating advice.
Okay, we got a problem in this country, and it's people not getting married, not putting a ring on it, and not having kids. But
that is correct. I follow you up to there.
Conversely, we also have a problem with a lot of women voting, and they're voting Democrat, they're voting leftist. If you want to fix that problem, you have to wife these women up. Like, we have to stop being...
Ugh. You don't know how terrible it is. You just don't know how insane modern leftist women are. And to be directing males toward far-left women or toward whatever, a woman who votes Democrat, is misguiding them toward a life of suffering. You know, it's not just about fixing society. You can't tell your male audience, go out there, self-sacrifice like the angler fish. Die. Die on the body of your Democrat far-left female. No. It's still a race of selection, and we still should be trying to find the most right-wing woman we can. For me, it has been extremely rewarding, because now I find myself with a beautiful and a wonderful, in so many ways, female who cares for me wonderfully, who is not looking to add drama or problems to my life. The only way I could get this is to find a ultra, ultra-based right-wing woman. But if you go for, I'm going to marry her and try to convince her not to be a leftist, you're going to be in trouble, because first, it's going to create a lot of political argumentation in the couple. Secondly, fundamentally, if she's a liberal, truly a liberal leftist who thinks that way fundamentally, this is never going to change. So you're going to suffer, and she's always going to see you as a representative of the evil patriarchy.
And cells and stop going up to girls and, oh, no, girls are all just bitches.
Well, Raised Fist says, Jeff, by caring for Gaza, you are like the foster parent who cares for a child who is not his. Waste of energy. Absolutely not. This is not what it is. I care about the subversion of American politics. The subversion of American politics, as it happens, can be demonstrated in many ways, including by bringing the spotlight on the Gaza situation. It's amazing, in the last 3-4 months, the number of occasions we've had to catch Jews in absolute self-contradiction with respect to professed principles. It's amazing how many of the leftist delusions have just fallen right in their face, in a way that we can illustrate to them much more realistically than ever before. Like, if you take a leftist and you show him, look, Israel is an ethnostate, just like it happened with the De Hill journalist. In the end, she got bugged by following reason. And inside of her, she must have discovered, as a result of her firing, oh, when you follow reason, but you follow reason and it turns out against the Jews, you get punished. So ultimately, there's no reason guiding our public conversation. ultimately, it's only the interest of the Jews, and reason gets adjusted according to the current situation. James says it's very unpleasant when some 20-some-year-old woman tries to lecture men on how to be men. Yeah, it's like she probably kept some of the... She probably caught some of this on, you know, these masculinist talking points. Oh, you have to lead the woman, bro. The woman is fucking retarded. I can't lead a retard. I can grow her. I can, you know, I can try to master the mastery of retardation handling. But there are women who are not leadable. And it's the case for most women. I've been around. I've been dating. Most women are not leadable. They are insane in the head. Nuke from Persia says, JF, does dating app AI combined with 23andMe qualify as TRP? You could argue that it becomes a printer of human genes if it can evolutionarily beneficial, if it gives evolutionary beneficial recommendations based on genetic information of its users, provided with one letter precision. Are mutations still random enough? Well, exactly. It's not a printer because the mutations are still there. So in any way, in every way, it is a system of selection. Now, it has its own dangers, but it's not a phenotypic revolution if you merely have selection. Just like the farms are not, even when we started modifying plants with OGMs and GMOs and that kind of stuff, even if we did it at the single letter level, it's still not a phenotypic revolution. Well, because the plant continues its mutational quest, you know, the plant continues to deploy random mutations. Now, if we were to exert control on the whole of the genome, then it could potentially qualify, but if we're just inserting one gene and then the plant goes on evolving and it has evolved before, really what we've done is we farmed something very specific that we wanted, but we're not engaged in a cycle. The key to the phenotypic revolution being inescapable is the cycle aspect of it. Anyways, let's keep listening.
No, they're all just whores. Let's not even go and ask them out. Stop being a pussy and put a fucking ring on it. If you want to fix the voting problem, that's how you fix it, motherfucker.
No, you don't fix it by marrying leftists. You fix it by waiting for society to converge away from the slide into leftism. And it's by not reproducing female leftists that you succeed.
Like, anybody who votes leftist, they're single women with no kids and whatever, and they're jaded with life. So if you want to fix this problem, it's not trashing women and making them go further away from the conservative movement.
There's no way to attract women toward the conservative movement, because it's never been the case that women have developed a conservative brain. They'd never had to, because they were mostly homemakers, and so women are currently unleashed into an unshaped status where modernity is telling them to pursue political opinions, but they don't have the evolutionary equipment to do so. And so conservative talking will never attract most women. It's always going to attract maybe 10-15% of women. There's always some variability, but it's never going to be a legitimate dating strategy to try to take a leftist woman and change her. By the way, this whole "I can fix her" is terrible dating advice. Absolutely terrible. So Lily doesn't know what she's talking about, which is why she has a half Iranian son that she's the single mom of. It's like, And it's so dangerous to have someone who's bad-mouthed, like, foul-mouthed like this, just spout out stuff that hundreds of thousands of people are going to digest and ingest as the truth. She doesn't know what she's talking about. Have you ever tried marrying a leftist? I tried 200 times. It's absolute hell. It is absolute pain. Do not impose this pain to your audience, Lily. Ty Odyssey says, step four, solve the Goldbeck conjecture with enough time to make child's graduation ceremony on time. Absolutely. I love this idea. I've been working on the math all day. I've been for a couple of days developing very, very good math. Can't say that I'm at the end of it, but holy shit, am I advanced at this point. Galactic Primate says, JF, when it comes to females as a percentage of genetic heritage, how African is too African to make a baby with? Very important. I saw one the other day that briefly triggered my sexual instincts. Then I thought better of it. Well, everyone has their own limits. Honestly, to me, any to me, 1% is too much. But that's just my preference. If you're in a situation where you have to, where you are not very desirable on the sexual market, just do whatever you have to do, you know. But to me, I really am interested at maintaining the European genetic line. And it would be ridiculous after 400 years of pure white French Christian breeding for me to just waste it all and just create some untried combination for the future. Makes zero sense. I believe that I am part of a specialized genetic line, and I want to continue in that specialization. Maybe that's where the autism comes in handy here. French National Rally President Jordan Bardella vows to ban kosher and halal meat if elected prime minister. That's an interesting question in France, because in France, food is a very important thing. It's part of the culture to care about food a lot. And yes, this idea that kosher and halal are basically used to make a kind of war of presence and a war of markets in Western civilization, but ultimately a war between the Jews and the Muslims. And the French people are tired, because it's like Eric Zemmour says, you go on the streets and you have to drive far before you get to a place where you can buy meat that is not halal or not kosher. So it's been a public point, you know, although this movement against kosher food is considered anti-Semitic in America. And even we had our friends who had made an app to know, is what I'm buying kosher or not? And they had been banned from the app store. So somehow the culture is very anti this here. But in France, it's a more regular conversation. It's part of the mainstream conversation. What do we do with the fucking fact that I have to basically contribute monetarily to either the Jews or the Muslims if I want to buy food, if I want to buy meat? And I would be happy if they can ban it. I think it's a very... I'm not against. If you want your kosher food and you build your own markets and you... But I don't like the regularization of, well, let's make everything kosher and everything halal so that we don't get in trouble, because that's an invasion on secularism of the rest of society. Most people do not want halal food. And so if you need halal food for yourself, you want to make a small production of it, have your little shops, go for it. I'm all for it. But don't impose it on people who have not asked for it. Because it is a religious statement to be eating halal food. And someone may care about eating non-halal food. That is it for tonight, boys. Benjamin Netanyahu is trying to deal with the extremist branch of the government. He dissolves the Israeli war cabinet. So currently Netanyahu is trying to tame the most extreme elements that are trying to push the genocide quicker. I guess the current argument in Israel is genocide quick or genocide slow. What should we do? And Fashi Chad says, JF, looking at AF civic nationalism, America first civic nationalism, do you think white nationalism is a lost cause in America? It depends. It depends on what you set as your victory for white nationalism. Personally, I think there is much white pilling stuff happening right now. So even the rise of America First is very interesting. It would be a positive, a net positive for someone even who identifies as a stronger white nationalist. Even as someone who says, well, America First nationalism is, there's too much race mixed people in there. So even if you identify further to the right and further toward racial identity than America First, you should rejoice in the success of America First, in the red pilling of people that's happening every day, in the enlightenment that is happening around the discussion on Israel. All of this is very positive. So if you set this as your standard, then no, certainly I don't think you should be black-pilled right now. Now, you may set your standard of white nationalism as having a white nation. Now, having a white nation, we're not on the road to protect the demographic majority of white people in the U.S. So that's something you could be black-pilled on. But I've never seen this as the goal. I've always said that most likely we will lose pursuing this goal. But what we can do is sensibilize people and make sure that the nucleus of white people who survives this process will be able and willing and quick to realize that it is in their interest to reconcentrate and then eventually recreate a white civilization somewhere. I believe that on that path, there's no reason to be black-pilled. You will only be black-pilled if you remain attached to America as we need to maintain the white majority in America. Well, this is pretty much over. I mean, it hasn't happened yet, but it will happen in a way that there's nothing you can do to stop it. But reconcentration and reformulation of a white society, that will happen. It has to happen because white people are not going to tolerate. Even in South Africa, it happens. So even in South Africa, they start being in trouble. They get into villages. They build a full white place. And then they install cameras all around, kilometers around, to make sure that no one comes in to annoy them. So it's the instinct of white people ultimately to seek comfort and to make sure it happens. James says, we have more white people than we did 1,000 years ago. It's not about number, it's about quality. Absolutely. And there will be a filtering process, you know, as America gets more diversified every temptation along the way of race mixing will catch, will kind of trap the most likely to be tempted, will trap the liberal thinking female that says, oh, I will fuck with this footballer. And boom, her whole line of descent is now half black at least. So yes, I agree. There will be a process of filtering and quality filtering, but at the end of it, we should be better off than we ever were. Even if that means not having as much political power in certain places, it will still mean that we are free and existing. That is it for tonight. Much love, and I will see you all tomorrow.